And indeed, it is your thirst, your curiosity, your interest in life itself that drives you. There is still a notion within you, in your personal sense of self, that there is a requirement of justification for this. And society has demanded of you, if you are going to indulge your curiosity, it must be for a higher purpose. It must be in an act of service, or at the very least, it must provide financially. And yet we see in you this raw, pure essence of curiosity that is the very nature of your existence. It is the energy and the vitality that flows within you that enables you to exist. So we wish to begin our conversation with you in this way by declaring and reminding you that there is no requirement for you to justify your purpose.
I'd like to welcome to the show Rebecca Dawson. Thanks for being here, Rebecca. I'm very excited to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me, Rod. Happy to be here with you.
Well, isn't it amazing? This is like nearly a year since the channel started, and you are the first Australian that I've actually interviewed, and you're also the first Australian channel, well, the first Australian everything. So I'm glad that that's happened.
Oh, me too. I love the beautiful synergy that we already have flowing through us now. We've discovered we're from the same place. It's beautiful.
Yeah, very much the same neighborhood. Now, I'm keen to hear you channel the masters or anyone else who wants to come through. Mm-hmm. But first, let's talk about what your life was like growing up before your spiritual awakening occurred.
Oh, I love that question. Well, I really always had the spiritual awakening from the time I was very young. So even when I was a little girl, I could see colours around people and see people who had passed away and all sorts of things like that. And I had a lot of very fresh memories about other lives that I'd had as well. So my challenge in childhood was, you know, growing up in a place like Perth, it wasn't a particularly spiritual community back in those days. And I was raised as a Catholic. So it was navigating and, you know, mitigating all of those things that were happening with making sense of the world, making sense of religion, those sorts of things. So I was very blessed actually, because we moved down from the country when I was quite young. We were up in Carnarvon. And we moved down to Perth, and the woman who lived across the street from us was very involved in a very small spiritual community that my mother got involved with. And so because of that, and because of these capacities that I was displaying at a young age, I actually got into meditation classes quite early. I started going regularly from about the age of 9.
Wow.
And it was always my interest. Metaphysics was my interest. So I was able to at least create a belief system somewhere that could support some of the things that I was experiencing at a young age. But, of course, then you move into your teens and you don't really care, because all you're interested in is fitting in, getting good grades, that kind of thing. So high school was a challenge in that regard. I kept all of that very quiet. And it was actually after I left school and I started studying at university, I was playing with some tarot cards that I'd picked up from this store, or you'll know, down Plaza Arcade in the city in Perth. And I found these ancient Egyptian tarot cards. And the only reason I bought them was because I liked the images. I wasn't interested in tarot at all. So I started playing with them, and as it turns out, I was somehow accurate doing this. And one day someone came along to see me, and I had a terrible breakup. And as I was sitting there doing my thing, suddenly my head felt very expanded and my voice changed, and all of this information started flowing, and it was about an hour and it felt like a few minutes. And that was the beginning of channeling. So it wasn't planned. Just kind of happened. The challenge was, after that, what do we do now? Because it changed a lot of things for me. It was a bit of a cataclysm, really.
When that first started to come through, the channeling, how did you feel? Did you kind of like roll with it, or did you go, what's happening here, or what happened there?
Well, because I'd been meditating for so many years, I had an understanding that something was happening with my energy, as it does sometimes in meditation. You expand or you feel different things. But this felt so much more than anything that I'd felt before. It felt like it was bigger than me. So at least I could relax into it in that moment. And it literally felt like I stepped to one side. Because when I came out of it, I was quite surprised that I was sitting in the position that I was in. I thought I was on a different angle. So it's like my awareness moved to one side. And I did have an understanding of what channeling was. I had seen channeling before. There was one or two other channelers in Perth at that time that I had gone to see. But I didn't know, of course, what it was going to feel like. And I always thought it was something you had to learn how to do. So the challenge for me was, well, I haven't asked to do this. I haven't been taught how to do it. I'm not trained in this. Should I be doing it? And the general consensus at that time from other people in the spiritual community and indeed other channelers was, no, you should not.
That was the advice they gave to you. Yeah.
Pretty much. You're too young. You don't know what you're doing. It could be dangerous. It could be anything. You shouldn't be doing that. And that wasn't exactly what I would have liked to have heard. And so I kind of set off on a bit of a journey over the next 10 years after that to try and find a mentor or a teacher or something that could give me the scaffolding so that I didn't feel like I was completely out there on my own trying to figure all of this out. Because even though I had some belief systems around metaphysics, it wasn't really cutting it for what I was experiencing. So as it turns out, I never did find a teacher or a mentor, and I tried pretty hard. But, of course, I realize now that that was all perfectly part of the blueprint for my experience, because when we started to bring through content that was completely different from anything that anyone else had been bringing through, and even now is, a lot of the wisdom that comes through is quite, I would use the term somewhat inadequately, cutting edge. If I had had, I think, a real mentor or teacher or framework, I would have set beliefs that would challenge some of the content that was coming through. So it's enabled me to be as clear a channel as I possibly can be, because I don't have any preconceived ideas or beliefs about what's true and what's not. I only go with the clarity and the truth of the vibration that comes through. And it's the same team that's been with me for years and years and years.
So you had some pushback from people within your own the spiritual community. I mean, that's one thing. What was it like for your family and friends when you started sharing what was going on? What was that reaction like?
Well, that was actually quite positive, which was wonderful. My family was very, very supportive, which was great. And I did learn over the years not to counsel family and not to counsel friends necessarily as well, just because it can create, well, first of all, you're too close. And secondly, it can create a sense of dependency as well. You know, if suddenly you have access to a source of wisdom that seems to know everything about everybody, doesn't mean that it should always be accessed in that way. So I was very lucky. They were very supportive. And I always thought I was going to have an academic career path. So they were supportive in me in moving out and exploring that. I found friendships challenging. And I feel that part of that's because I didn't really know how to be authentic in what I'm doing without causing some ripples with people. But, of course, you know, moving into my 30s and into my 40s, my friends now are very much on board with what I do. And actually, I would have to say honestly that most of my friends I meet through this work.
Hmm.
Yeah, or through this interest, because it doesn't really feel like work to me.
Well, it's hard enough for me just to explain what, you know, even though this is a part-time gig for me, it's hard enough to explain what I do to friends. And I usually just fall on, I just interview people about their near-death experiences, even though that really doesn't capture much. And I can't imagine to start a new conversation with somebody who has no clue what it is, what being a channel is, that would be challenging.
It is. And so, you know, there's ways and ways of describing that, of course, but I'm really focusing now on just being as transparent and as authentic as I can, because what I'm discovering is that it very quickly allows me to feel, is this person in resonance with me or not, in the first conversation, where I spent years before tiptoeing my way around, or, you know, I can make this work if I just adjust myself slightly, edit something.
And I just need one more friend.
Yeah, right. So it's really if the resonance is there or it's not. And I think after doing this for so many years now, people are either resonant with you or they're not. And it doesn't have to be such a personal thing, and it doesn't have to be something that I have to pretend that I'm something else in order to make a friend with someone.
So I've heard you describe the collective, for want of a better term, that you channel at the moment called the Masters. Has it always been that way, or has there been a shift? Was it an individual, or has it always been a group that's come through to you?
Great question. So in the beginning, that very first experience that I had, it was this huge energy that came in, and that energy I later found out, because it took a little while to get familiar with that energy to then get a name. I didn't want to slap something on it so quickly. That was Master Serapis Bey, who came through, who I later found out through many years was also, I think, Thoth in Egypt. And there was a particular architect that did the Temple of Luxor. I should know this, Amitep, and a few other lives along the way. And I actually have memories of those lives. And that was confusing to me, because when I was a child, I could remember myself being this person. And I'm still not 100% clear whether they're my memories or Serapis's memories. But where I'm coming to is that I am an aspect of that. So therefore, it's a shared memory. And then after some years, Germain came through. Some people refer to him as Saint Germain, and then Kasumi. And so now they come through usually as like a braiding all three energies together as a we, which is the Masters. Sometimes they'll come through individually if there's a very specific topic that they want to hone in on, and each of them is kind of specialized in that regard in some of those topics. And you can really tell the difference when they do that, because the personality really comes out. When it's the three of them together, it tends to be just the wisdom being streamed.
So I'm interested in the process, the channeling process, and how that works for you. You've talked a little bit about it when we first started talking, but for people who are not familiar with channeling or how it works, can you explain how it works for you?
Sure, and it is different for everybody. But in essence, whether you're an artist or a writer or singer or with what I do, it's really tapping into that one consciousness within you, that source energy, that cosmic wisdom, and bringing it out. So when I first started channeling, I had a very metaphysical understanding of what that was. I was 17 or 18, and I had this understanding of this hierarchy of spiritual energy. So what I learned within that framework was that there was this higher consciousness that would come in and speak through me. And so when that happened, that was exactly what I experienced. That was my framework of reference. So I would feel it. My body would really feel it. It would take some adjustment. And that was my sense. And that's how I experienced it for many years. As I went through my 20s and I spent a lot of time meditating and really honing in on refining this experience for myself and what is this all about, I had a profound experience over about 4 days when I was about 24, I think, of completely being in the experience of one. And that was a long period to be sitting in that. And when I experience myself as everything and everything as me, I could talk for a whole conversation around this, but because I don't want to water it down in a few sentences, but that's, in essence, it was a oneness experience. And from that, what I discovered was that it's not that something is coming outside into me that's higher than me. It's that I'm going into the one consciousness within myself and I'm pulling out different aspects of it. And in this way, my body is so much more comfortable. It's so much more integrated. There's not really an adjustment period that happens with energy. It flows like water comes out of the fountain. And since I discovered that and now have that reference for channeling, it means that I can pretty much, as I believe every human can, because we're all designed in the same way, you can pretty much access anything.
Amazing.
And from whatever depth.
So this alludes a little bit to meditation and how vital meditation is for sort of figuring things out with regards to our consciousness and spirituality. I'm one of these people who is, I'm trying different methods of meditation because I'm still not really finding anything that works for me. And I don't know whether it's just because I just need to do it for longer or I just need to keep trying, or maybe I'm trying too hard or anything like that. So for someone, let's say for someone who doesn't meditate at all, if we could just briefly touch on this, what would you suggest for people as a way for them to start?
That's such a great question. Thank you for asking that, because I struggled with meditation for many years. And I always used to hear other people go, oh, I practice my meditation every day, you know, when I get up in the morning. And I really don't do that. And I did try for many years to do that. And while meditation in that sense, and particularly things like guided meditations or just trying to still the mind, it helped me to understand and feel the energy in my body. So it helped me to feel vibration. It got me to stop and pay attention. As far as the thoughts and stilling the mind, that never worked for me, ever. So in that regard, practice didn't work for me. If I did do meditation, it would have to be spontaneously in the moment I feel like doing this. But meditation for me is principally about switching on the senses. For me, that's the most powerful meditation you can do. Forget about the mind. Don't worry about trying to wrangle that beast. Just focus on the senses. So in this moment while I'm doing the dishes, what can I hear? What can I feel on my skin? Skin actually is the easiest thing to meditate with. How's my skin feeling in the air right now? Can I feel the skin underneath my thighs as I'm sitting on this chair? And as soon as you do that, you're in a meditative state. You can feel your energy field start to expand. It's really quick and easy. So in essence, getting into sense, what can I sense? Instantly brings me into it. And that's actually a way I go into channel as well, because as soon as I'm in that state, I'm in that feeling state, boom, everything's available. So I struggled with meditation for years and years, but for me now, meditation is feeling something in the present moment. And it's so powerful and simple because I'm not focused on my mind at all.
That's great. That's really useful, because I'm one of these people that has, and I kind of tell myself off a bit, you know, when I start to lose track of what I was. You know, even if I do a mantra or something like that, it kind of disappears. And then I'm starting to think about, oh, yeah, I've got an interview with Rebecca tomorrow. You know, this what's coming up.
Well, your mind can't still itself, and it's always going to be there. And even though people speak a lot about eradicating the mind or the ego, what we want to do is we want to get it to start following the cosmic intelligence that's in our body that keeps us alive, that operates in all of the cells. And if you think about a fountain pen, you know, cosmic consciousness is holding the pen. The pen itself is the body. The nib of the pen is the mind. And so the mind thinks, well, we need to figure out what story we're going to write for our lives so the cosmic ink can flow. But the nib has to follow the hand. And to really start to lean back into the hand, I always like to use that expression, lean back, relax, let the hand do it. The body then starts to become the pen. And what you notice is you actually start to feel your body. I can feel energy. I can feel things moving. And then the mind can take its cue from that. Because the mind's meant to follow your body intelligence. It's not meant to tell the body what to do. And that's where we get a lot of disease and illness, because the body starts following the mind instead of the mind following the body. But if you go back to when we're born and we're infants, it's intelligence in that infant's body that tells it when it's hungry, tells it when it needs to sleep, and it leads from source intelligence in the physiology. And over time, it learns to deny the body and listen to the mind and get the mind to tell the body what to do. And that's when that's when we get inverted, what the masters call, that's when we move into inversion reality. So our challenge now is to get back to the body leading the way and have the mind follow along, because then the mind's a great tool for us to be able to bring new things into the earth reality.
You know, what I love about these conversations is I never really know where they're going to go. I have a couple of notes and then that's kind of it. When you are channeling the masters or any of the individuals, do you have a sense of what they're going to want to talk about, or is it always a surprise? And do you remember what you talked about afterwards?
Yes, I do remember what we talked about afterwards, but because I have done thousands of channelings, especially for individuals, there's always so much in there and so many seminars and workshops. What I discovered was in the beginning, if I didn't have selective memory about certain highlighted points, my brain would almost explode because there was too much information, not in the words that are being expressed, but in the visual map that I'm experiencing when that's happening. I get this multidimensional map of everything, and then what's expressed is like a tiny sliver of that. So I do remember. I take notes, but I remember the big concepts. And you had another question in there as well.
It was, do you know what is going to come through before it starts to come through? Or is the content kind of set up, or is it always a surprise for you?
No, it's always a surprise. But I have asked, you know, for practicalities purposes, guys, if we're going to run a seminar, can we at least give it a title? Give me an image. Give me some bullet points that I've got something to work with so people at least know what to expect. And then, you know, even like at the moment I'm doing a four-week seminar, and every installment, I don't know what it's called until 2 minutes before I start, and I sit there and I type in week three, title is this. Like we just did one the other night, week three was called sonar. I don't know what that's about. And it turned out to be about cymatics and sonar energy and how we use that to create in fifth dimensional reality. So right, if I knew about it before it was channeled, it wouldn't be new.
Yeah, and I guess what we need, what humanity needs, is constantly evolving, right? So it makes sense that the information has got to evolve to go along with that.
Right, and one thing I've learned as a channel, you know, some years ago now, is I, as a channel, have to be willing not to be attached to the wisdom. And at first I would think, well, if all of this new information is coming, now that's going to be my belief system. And, you know, I can make courses out of this, and I can write books about this, and, you know, you come up a concept and this is 20 years worth. Fantastic. And of course I was told very, very early on by the masters, we're going to work with you, you have to be willing to burn everything as soon as it comes through. And they showed me an image of all of this transcript and me just lighting it up and burning it, because they said, if you don't, belief is going to stay there and it won't be able to keep bringing through the next bit. It won't be able to keep evolving as humanity is evolving. Mm. So I can't be attached to it. It's fascinating, but there's always more.
So when I've got one more question, and then if you'd like to channel the masters or somebody, I'd be excited to hear that.
Great.
The question is related to often channels and being psychic and having messages come through from spirit is kind of goes along with that. But for some people there's this, it's almost like it can be almost intrusive. Like you've actually got to kind of consciously lower your vibration a little bit so that you're not always having someone talking in your ear. Do you find that there's this separation between you and spirit and channeling that is sometimes hard to manage?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because when I first started and going through my late teens, the first 2 or 3 years that I was doing this, I didn't have the skills or the experience to be able to turn it on or off. And so it was very disruptive. I actually left university and went traveling for a while because I didn't really know how to handle it. And fortunately for me, having that oneness experience and putting channeling aside so that I could get to the bottom of what is reality, what is one consciousness. All I wanted to do was have an experience of that, and that's what I got. From there, I realized that it's all one. So it's all available through me, and I'm a portal for it. And because of that, I now have a very easy, fluid time moving in and out at will. Because I'm now in agreement with the masters. So when there's there something to be said, there it is. If there isn't, there it isn't. But it's, you could say it's on demand, but it's only ever there to be asked for in the perfect moment. So I don't think anyone's ever asked us to channel and there has been a no. If they're asking us to for information or for wisdom, then I'm aware that that's also the one consciousness arising there. So there's already an agreement for it.
All right. Well, speaking of wisdom, how do you feel about seeing what comes through now?
Well, the consciousness in you, which is the same as the consciousness in me, is already decided. So, of course.
Awesome.
So would you like to begin with a question or a topic, Rod, or would you like us just to dive in?
Yeah, well, I do have one floating around. So the selfish part of me goes, do you have any messages for me personally? And in the past, I would have been reluctant to actually even ask that question. So that would be the first question. And then the second one would be if there is anything for, you know, people who are watching this video.
Okay, great. Well, I love your question because you are a representation of the collective human consciousness. So whatever you're asking that's pertinent to you is going to be benefiting everybody. So I think it's very noble to ask. Blessed One, greetings to you. We are with you. And indeed, it is your thirst, your curiosity, your interest in life itself that drives you. There is still a notion within you, in your personal sense of self, that there is a requirement of justification for this. And society has demanded of you, if you are going to indulge your curiosity, it must be for a higher purpose. It must be in an act of service, or at the very least, it must provide financially. And yet we see in you this raw, pure essence of curiosity that is the very nature of your existence. It is the energy and the vitality that flows within you that enables you to exist. So we wish to begin our conversation with you in this way by declaring and reminding you that there is no requirement for you to justify your purpose. Nor is there any requirement for you to justify your existence. Because what you are doing in this moment is you are expressing from source consciousness. You are igniting conversations that allow humanity to continue to expand. And equally, you are expanding in your own aperture of vision and perspective as this occurs. What could be more satisfactory? Agree?
I agree, yes.
And we greatly admire that you are not attached to property. And this is a question for you in your personal experience at this time. Because there is a question, should I be more attached to property? Should I be more attached to living experiences or location? And perhaps there are questions from others, well, you have been critiqued for your lack of
attachment to property and accumulation. And yet you are very wise in your choices that you have made, because you are realizing, and you also have a sense for this, that you are freeing yourself up, because the less attachment you have to property over the next 5 to 6 years is going to enable you to be able to develop more in your interest, and indeed be able to spread your reach more, and indeed accept invitations as they arise.
That's
so we would say to you very personally that you are not going to be located in one particular area over the next 5 to 6 years. You're already looking to expand beyond where you are, agree?
Yes, yes. That's incredible that you should bring that up, because it's been a shift in the last few years to go from being attached to property to not, and I don't talk about it.
Of course. So you are very, very wise in this regard. There are some very surprising opportunities and invitations for you to be accepting in the years, and indeed even in the months ahead. The other question for you at this time is collaboration and partnership, because this has been somewhat challenging. And you may believe that you have been tested in this regard, where there has been faith in the ability and the intentions of others, but you feel as if perhaps you have made choices in error, or perhaps there has been tension, or things haven't moved in the way that you would like them to. We want to be very clear that what you are indeed intuiting is that there is an opportunity for the partnerships that you have to be integrated into the curiosity that you also have. It's been difficult to separate out different styles and types of connections when your focus is really in one direction.
Yeah, that makes sense. So So could you just say a little bit more about that, please?
So what we would say to you is that, and with your permission, because this is your, what humans call personal experience, yes? So what you have discovered is that there has been a great desire to have partnership that also has the same sense of curiosity as you.
Mm.
And there have been choices that have been made. Yes, I think this is compatible. Yes, I think this is generally, we are operating in the same field of awareness. And what you have discovered is that that is not so. And we're also discovering that just because there is an interest in a particular area does not mean that that's where someone's vibration is. It means it's where their mental acumen is. They are interested in curiously from the mind, but they're not interested in bringing all of themselves to it. And this is what has challenged you. As humans would say, not walking the talk, to borrow a phrase from this one's mind. So it's very important for you that you focus completely on what your joy and curiosity is, because that's where the manner for partnership that allows itself to permeate into all aspects of your life can actually arise. So we will say that partnership that is also equally interested in what you are doing, partnership that is also equally interested in moving in the directions that you want to move in with ease and flow. Yes, because you're not meant to be tied into a particular location at this time. Partnership that is interested in collaborating with you. Co-creation, you may say. Yes?
Yes, that makes sense.
And that is something that your blueprint is absolutely vibrating for at this time. So be it. So it's not a question of needing to yearn. Yes, or needing to hope, it is as it is as it is, because as we express with you at this time, we are reading your blueprint. And that is the blueprint. And we want to say that you have been very earnest and you have compromised, yes?
Mm-hmm.
But this is no longer the time for compromise. And that is the realization you already came to, agree?
Yes.
Yes. Because where your vitality is, where your curiosity is, that's where your life is. That's where your life is. So if you are looking for new life, if you are wanting to create new life, let the compass of your needle be where the curiosity is, because that's where your life is. That's where the partnership is. Yes?
That's very useful.
Very well. Do you have another question for us?
I do not. I'm an empty vessel as far as the questions go. I'm wondering whether there is anything else that needs to be said.
Well, you had a question about what could benefit humanity at this time, agreed? Mm,
yes.
And we would say that humanity could also benefit from this wisdom, because where your curiosity and joy is, that's where your life is. If you were a flashlight, yes, or a torch, as you say in your location, when the torch light is on and you feel switched on, that's the direction to move in. And so what humans do is they feel that in the beginning with something, but then if the flashlight goes off or the light goes off, you keep moving in that direction and you're walking around in the dark and bumping into things and don't seem to be making much progress, and it suddenly becomes very difficult. What you don't do in those moments is stop, turn around, begin to explore different directions from where you are, and wait till that flashlight goes on, and then you move in that direction. So there's no sense in walking in the dark, hoping that you're going to find the light. You are the light. The game here is to keep the light on. And that shows you exactly where your life is. Because what you have discovered, which is what many humans have discovered, particularly those listening to us in this moment, is that you have oftentimes compromised your own life. When the light goes off, you follow along someone else's life where their light is leading them, but you still feel like you're walking around in the dark. Yes?
Yes, that does describe it very well.
It is possible, of course, to walk alongside someone whose light is also moving in the same direction as you, and that's what you want. And we say this to many humans because the enlivening of the human spirit, the evolution of human collective consciousness, is all about now having clear direction. And clear direction does not mean following paths that are already set out for you. It doesn't even mean following paths that you've already begun upon. It means navigating as per the curiosity, spontaneity, and sense of joy that is naturally the consciousness within you. That's your life essence. The life essence shows you the way. So it's very simple. Agree? What is not simple is that humans feel loyal. They feel loyal to things they have started. They feel loyal to paths they haven't created. And they feel loyal to expectations of others. When the only thing that is worthy of your devotion is that light within you, keeping it on, because that is what is going to evolve human consciousness so much more quickly and allow you to be able to see more clearly. Yes, because you're all wandering around in the dark, bumping into each other, and there's accidents, oh, I'm sorry, and so on. Interesting, isn't it?
It is, and it's been a hard journey for me because I've done exactly what you've said. It started off doing something that someone else suggested and then feeling loyal to something I'd started and then feeling loyal to what my wife said I should be doing. And
Of course.
And it's not until you start to really explore the things that I'm interested in and curious in that things actually start to feel like they're going in the right direction. And that's been a tough lesson.
Well, the more evolved humanity becomes, the more you begin to realize that if you are a representation, if you are an extension, if you are the face of a great cosmic intelligence, yes, that means that your priority within this human experience is to experience as much as you can. because source consciousness itself is not expanding to know itself. It already knows itself. It's expanding and fractalizing in myriads of ways. It's fractalizing as billions of humans, for example, to have as much experience as possible. And yet what happens in the Earth reality is that humans get trapped in cycles of blueprints and experience the same things over and over and over again. That's what you call the karmic cycle. And in that, consciousness is not continually expanding, which is why it would seem that human consciousness hasn't been expanding. So the main priority and devotion to self, and indeed, inevitably, your devotion and your love for humanity, is to experience as much as you can. And so when you experience as much as you can, first you're here, and then you're here, and then you're here, and then you're here. The game is not to stick to one path and see it through to the end. Consciousness fractalizes. This is multidimensionality. This is the evolution of consciousness now for humanity. Experience as much as you can. So it's not about sticking to something. It's about having the breadth of experience. This is so important because as your consciousness evolves, you can experience so much depth in a shorter amount of time in each direction. You see this in young children. Oh, I want to learn the piano. Well, here it is. Oh, I've learnt now how to play. I'm not interested anymore. I've had that experience. Next, 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 next. Because this is not about mastering a particular direction. It's about mastering being human. And that's about breadth of experience. Yes?
Yeah. So I do have another question. It's one that one of my oldest son, who's 15, asked me. He's going to be 16 soon. And it was along the lines of, what should I study now? I want to make sure that I make some money when I, you know, when I finish school. What should I do? And I think that's something that a lot of young people are thinking about, and they're thinking about, this is what my parents say I should do, or this is what school says I should do, or this is what society says I should do, or this is what this YouTuber says I should do. What's some advice for those people?
Well, we would say to this one, this young one, that he should not listen to anybody, but he should listen to his body, because that's where the greatest intelligence is, agree? The cosmic consciousness and the physiology of the human form. Therefore, what does the body get the most excited about? Yes? And what it gets most excited about in this moment might be different to, say, 6 months or a year's time when they actually come to make that choice, or when they need to make that choice. Which one is the body most excited about? Because that is a cosmic intelligence that knows far more about the capacity of your own human experience. It knows all about your blueprint and your potentials. And where the light goes on, that's the direction that your life needs to go in, or can go in, to experience the greatest expansion in that moment. Yes? So rather than the mind's very linear. It's designed for duality. So the child's mind, it will give a list of pros and cons for each option. Agree? And it will keep oscillating between the two, and it won't actually make a decision. The mind doesn't make choices. The mind prevents you from making choices. And this is why so many humans get stuck, because they're so busy comparing, they never actually make a choice. You go into paralysis. And so if you actually just listen to the body, we're standing still in the dark, let's turn around, which direction are we facing in, which one gives us the most sense of joy? You could even have these things written down on pieces of paper and just blank sheets of paper, and it's hidden, and hand them to them. Which one does your body light up with? Your body knows. That is what we would suggest. Make a game of it. You can begin even with very simple things within your home. Do you want this glass of liquid, or do you want this glass of liquid? Which one does your body want? You can play with food. You can play with all sorts of things. start navigating from the intelligence of your physiology. Yes?
Okay, that's useful. I'm curious about how, my understanding is that my existence, what I understand to be my existence now, is kind of a sliver of my greater self. And my greater self made a basic plan for this existence that I'm having now, this my time here on planet Earth. And I'm curious about that process. And are there sort of like milestones, mile markers in our life, you know, things that we sort of want to experience that really are like guideposts for us during this life, or is it a little looser than that?
Well, if you had asked us this 50 years in your linear experience ago, this is when humans were very much entrenched still in this third, fourth dimensional expression that we described earlier, where the blueprints keep getting experienced over and over again. And in such a scenario, those life paths have already been created and they're being lived out again and again and again and again. And so what you discover is that in such a linear perspective of life, not only do you see it as largely predetermined, which means it's already being created, you also see it in terms of something that's very sequential. Therefore, you must get from here to here in order to progress. Yes? You don't feel like you're progressing unless you've reached certain marker points. Now, when you move into fifth dimensionality and beyond, which is where humanity is shifting to collectively now, what happens is that instead of there being a set life plan that's third or fourth dimensionally created, you now step into a blueprint that's a fractalized set of potentials, which means that you now have more choice because it's a different kind of choice. Now it's choice for breadth of experience. You're not trying to follow a particular line, and you're actually creating it as you go along. And this is important because humans that are awakening at this time, the more they make choices from the intelligence of their consciousness, that is from how they feel and their sense state of intelligence in the physiology, what pathways you create, others then follow. So there's a generation of awakening humans existing at this time in your Earth reality that don't know what to do, but are choosing things that feel interesting and curious. And in doing that, they're actually forging new blueprints and pathways for generations of humanity to follow. So you're not really supposed to know what you're doing if you're an awakening human, because you're creating the pathways now, because you've superseded the requirement for this third, fourth dimensional repetition, or what you call karmic history. And now you are pioneering and stepping out. Well, where does this go? I don't know. If you were out in the bush, for example, you know the bush, and you're going through and there isn't a pathway there, but you're curious, you passing through there creates the pathway. What will you discover there in the bush that nobody knew was there because nobody had walked there before? If we want to explain it in a different way, many physicists are saying now that you live in a simulated reality, agree?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say that every human is in their own individual simulator, all in a big room. Let's say, for example, and each of you, you're all plugged into the same simulator software. And you're all flying your simulator the best that you can, and there's certain maps and so on, agree? And it's your responsibility in that simulator to learn how to fly well and master these maps and finish them. And that way you can move on to another planetary experience, perhaps. So what happens when there's a paradigm shift into fifth dimensionality is that now you've come to the edge of the map in that simulator. What are you going to do? You've mastered it all. So now what happens is you have the courage to say, I can't see what's beyond this, but I'm going to fly out there anyway. And what your consciousness experiences now becomes a new level in the game, a new map that others in the simulators can now discover and begin to explore. Yes? Which yes. means your life is important, and especially if you don't know what you're doing and you don't know what you want, because that means you're on the edge of the known maps and you're principally experiencing this life to remap reality for humanity. So be bold, is what we say to you. If you can't see, you're going in the right direction, dear one.
That's really useful. Is there anything final that you'd like to finish with?
In our view, we would encourage you, and in our joy, congratulate you for being willing to be curious and choose for that.
Thank you.
Yes, it is our great joy to be with you in this way.
You're back.
I'm back.
That's terrific. There was so much really great advice there. And it almost felt like a psychic experience in a way, because you were talking about, especially when you're, when the masters were talking about my attachment to property, there's very few, it's not something I generally talk about or even think about too much, but it's definitely a profound shift that has happened for me in the last few years. And it's interesting how when I went from a stage of talking about, yeah, I want this property, this property, this property, to actually owning the fact that, no, I don't want any of that. And I'd rather have very minimal expenses and very, like, I live in a tiny apartment, you know, and I've got three kids in here, sometimes four. But I really like that because it feels expansive to actually do that. So I guess it's just reinforced for me that, you know, when you get on the right path, when you follow that sort of curiosity and kind of get away from what other people think you should do or what you might have talked about doing before or what, you know, when you get away from that and really follow along with what feels right to you, things work out okay.
They do, and I guess that's why they call it blind faith, right? Because we're kind of flying blind with our minds. But the body seems to know, because if it's feeling right, okay, we can't see and we don't know why we're doing it, or there's no logical sense to it, or we can't see what it's going to be, but it feels good, then things start to flow.
Yeah, and this is a very common message, this, you know, following your curiosity, following your joy, follow your bliss, you know, if I wanted something a little different. You know, it seems to me it's the best advice you can possibly give anybody, is just stick with what you're curious about and then just follow that as far as it'll go. And then when you get curious about something else, well, just follow that and see how far that goes.
Exactly. Breadth of experience, very important.
Yeah. Rebecca, people are going to want to be able to get in touch with you, probably ask you questions. Could you tell us how they can do that? And just tell us, you know, whatever you've got going on, as far as I know you've got books and other programs. And could you give us a summary of all of that?
Sure. So the best place to find me is my website, which is just my name, RebeccaDawson.com. And on there I've got loads of free content to look at and links to YouTube channels. And there's lots of courses and seminars. And I also do personal sessions from time to time. And got books on there, retreats, and a membership, which is actually where I do most of my work these days, where we do seminars and conversations with the masters every month, and lots of archived recordings and things like that. So yeah, plenty to explore, always generating new.
All right, terrific. And do you yourself have any message that you'd like to leave the people who are watching this video with?
Oh, thank you. That's lovely for you to invite me. I would say that if you feel confused, it's actually a blessing, because confusion is when the mind has stopped running the show. And so when you move into that state of confusion, just get back into feeling your body. because your body is definitely going to show you the way. If you're used to having clarity of thought and now you're feeling confused, it means you've come to the edge of that map in the STEM simulation. So congratulations. It's all pure curiosity from here.
Excellent. That's really useful. Rebecca, it's been my pleasure to have you on the show today. Thanks for being here.
Oh, it's been so lovely connecting with you. Thanks for co-creating the conversation.